Tom Handler. Hey, it's Jim Freed. How are you, Tom?
I'm well, Jim. How are you?
I am doing fine. Really, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. As I've told everybody, Tom Handler is probably the number one international expert on family asset protection. Tom, tell us a little bit about Handler Thayer. Set us up with your credentials.
Sure. We're a nationwide law firm based out of Chicago. Our areas are primarily financial. So my group focuses on taxation, estates and trusts, probate, executive comp, benefits, and asset protection. And then we have a commercial group that's traditional securities, M&A, real estate, finance, sports, entertainment. So most of us are quants, and the primary client base are family offices and family businesses, including a lot of C-suite executives, affluent individuals, professional athletes, celebrities, and people who built their wealth.
Well, let's just right go at it. Boy, you teed me up on this one with the celebrity part. So there was recently a very unexpected death in the celebrity world. Let's not talk specifically about that specific individual, but that sure set us up for why people need to have a plan in place, no?
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately. So first off, his affairs are fairly buttoned up and well taken care of. And he may be one of the exceptions. And of course, the fact that his resources are at the very high end of the spectrum put him in a different spot. But I think you're right. The vast majority of athletes and even celebrities, they rarely can hang on to the funds through the end of their life, much less pass it on to grandchildren or children, as the case might be. And so the general rule is that roughly 30% of the wealth can be passed down to the children generation, and less than 10% of the time is any of the wealth passed down to the grandchildren. But in the celebrity professional athlete arena, they're lucky if they still can survive until their own death. And a lot of that is due to the fact that, you know, many of the athletes try to live the lifestyle of the most prominent guy on the team, you know, and that works if you're Scottie Pippen. But, you know, the next five or six guys really can't afford the Michael Jordan lifestyle. And by the time they realize this, they've spent tremendous amounts of money, or they've spent more money than they actually made. There were articles about Rodman making $3 million a year and spending four. Well, you know, that's just not going to work for any length of time. And, of course, the careers don't last forever. So not only is the planning important, but they typically don't have the sense of discipline. And, unfortunately, the agents aren't very good at encouraging them to do so. So basic things like prenuptial agreements and having contracts reviewed by attorneys and having structures that make sense and paying attention to income tax and payroll tax and excise tax and estate tax. These are all things that wealthy families take for granted, but unfortunately, many celebrities and professional athletes and their advisors do not, and that's unfortunate.
So Tom, it's 2020. It's the dawn of a new decade. We've got the Republicans still in there. They continue to glitch and fine-tune our tax code and move everything around. What do people really have to focus on with the year coming up?
Well, you started with a good one, which is the new tax code. So it's only been in place since January 1 of 2018, so it's still relatively new. So businesses, family offices, entrepreneurs are still involved in a lot of restructuring caused by both the opportunities and the items, deductions eliminated by that tax act. And that structuring designed to get the benefit of lower rates and have efficient structures in place. And in that regard, I think the tax act did a very good job of both encouraging capital to no longer run out of the country at record rates as they did under the 8 years of Obama, not to mention I think more people left during the Obama administration than have left the country since the Pilgrims landed. That came to a complete screeching halt when Trump got elected. And there now isn't the incentive or as much incentive for the inversions and massive moves of capital offshore. So I think ultimately that capital is coming back. It's being deployed. And increasingly, the U.S. is being viewed as a safe haven by international families who don't trust their own country. So we're getting lots of foreign capital here because they think we're the least likely jurisdiction to inappropriately steal their assets. The two things that are, the other two things besides restructuring that are being driven is eliminations caused by that act. And the two big areas that got eliminated, there's a whole series of deductions that I'll loosely call items for the production or preservation of income. Those things relate to tax preparation, tax planning, tax cases, tax research, investment advisory, investment management, investment research, investment trips, investment litigation, legal for tax, estate tax, preparation of net worth statement. That whole kit, about 50 deductions just went away, and they're supposed to come back in 2025. Most practitioners think they'll never come back. And so trying to preserve some of those is a big area of opportunity. And the other relates to taking advantage of what is now the historically highest exclusion amount for estate tax purposes in the history of the country. The previous highest exclusion was put in under Obama at $5 million, and that was indexed last year. So this tax act put in an exclusion of $11.14 million, which was applicable in 2019, and that's also indexed. So it just went up to $11.58 million per taxpayer. So people are afraid that that very generous exclusion amount isn't going to be around, and there's an awful lot of estate tax planning work being done as a result, trying to take advantage of that exclusion, because that's the amount you can transfer without paying an estate tax, at least for federal purposes. And so that's where a lot of the work is being centered, to take advantage of that amount while it's still there, because ultimately the exclusion may go down to $5 million or lower, and it may happen sooner than the 2025 sunset of the existing tax act. So that's pretty much how the time is being spent. And then the elimination of the SALT deductions, which are state and local taxes, states like pretty much all the blue states got slaughtered. Illinois, New York, you know, Maryland, Minnesota, California, the states that are the most bankrupt and need the money, now the taxpayers can't deduct the state real estate tax, the income tax, or the sales tax. They're limited to a $10,000 amount, which doesn't cover either my sales tax or my state income tax or my real estate property taxes. So it's a really significant hurt to those states, probably inordinate. So I think that particular provision really hurt a lot of taxpayers, and that's causing a lot of taxpayer flight as well. So people are moving, voting with their feet as fast as they possibly can, going to jurisdictions with low tax or no tax, who have budget surpluses or at least financially viable state budgets as compared to places like New York, Illinois, California.
Wow. I mean, so do you think that there is a move afoot to do an equalization of that, or you think that there's just going to be a continued war on blue states with taxes?
Well, I think this hit was big enough. I don't think there'll be any more. But, you know, it's not a coincidence that the highest taxing states tend to be blue states, and they also tend to be bankrupt, which means that the politicians are comfortable at a really inordinate high level of taxation, and that was already there. It's been around for a long time, regardless of administration changes. So I don't see any equalization or fairness provision being put in. I think that the wealthy states that are now broke but wealthy in terms of GDP and population net worth are really getting slaughtered, paying way more than their fair share, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So the result, because of that, people are moving at an incredible rate, certainly nothing I've ever seen in my life, and the big beneficiaries are states like yours. Florida, you know, Tennessee, Texas, Wyoming, Nevada are the big winners here, and the number one loser by far is Illinois. We've lost per capita the most people. California, New York, massive outflows. Connecticut, same thing. People are voting with their feet because they don't like the level of spending. They don't like that level of taxation.
Yeah, I have a friend that recently moved from California to Texas. Go figure. You just had his third kid, you know. So yeah, 100%. And our condo developers here are staying above water, thanks to all those folks. So I want to thank everybody for that. Now, Tom, what would the advice be to you, a family, just let's say they just came into like $20 million. Is that enough for them to want a family office? And why would somebody want a family office anyway?
Sure. So at $20 million, they're right on the cusp. You know, I've seen professionals, you know, attorneys, doctors, dentists, architects, engineers, who don't have that net worth, but are very concerned about the level of risk to which they're subject, because those professions are responsible for their own malpractice. And even if they didn't do anything wrong, you always run the risk that the jury will think you did, because it's so complicated. It's hard to understand, you know, medicine and science and law or accounting. So because of that risk, they will often put in a virtual family office structure at much lower levels, even 5 or 10 million. But I think most people would say that typically $25 million of net worth is a typical threshold for a virtual family office. And there are virtual family offices with over $1 billion in assets under management. But that's sort of where the inquiry starts. And the motivation is that the virtual family office can run a family holding company, and the family holding company, notwithstanding a family office structure, is a tremendously powerful vehicle that can provide asset protection if done in the right states or countries and drafted properly. It can also provide a bucket of non-marital assets. So in the event of a divorce, or if the prenup doesn't work, the money stays as non-marital property and protection for future marriages, children, grandchildren down the road. And for estate purposes, those family holding companies entitle the owner to a discount in the value of the assets, because typically they're a minority owner. They don't have any control. It's being controlled by their grandfather or father. And so there's a minority discount. There's a liquidity discount. The net result is that discount ends up saving very material estate tax. So these vehicles are very powerful for risk management, marital planning, estate tax planning, and control in the older generation. And they're typically run by something. And if they're family limited partnerships, you almost have to have an entity, limited liability entity, as a general partner, because the general partner is 100% liable for anything that happens in those enterprises. So if you own businesses or riparian property where someone could get hurt, drown in the pool, drown on the beach, drown in the lake, drown in the river, you wouldn't want to take that kind of liability. So that entity is typically an organized legal entity, and it can be the family office as well, or it could just be the general partner, you know, running the show to protect you from liability. But more often than not, that's likely to be a virtual family office. And as the income and net worth go up, or the concerns regarding risk management, marital planning, divorce, lawsuits, slip and falls, high liability businesses, the more likely you're going to put these kind of structures in place, because they're predicated on playing long-term wealth management preservation smart poker. They are current global best practices structures. And so the hope is that regardless of what event happens in the future, it won't be cataclysmic. It will not wipe out the wealth of the family completely. It may take some hits. It may wipe out the insurance, but you'll live to fight another day, and some of those assets will be preserved. So I think it's playing smart poker, and if the risk is a big concern, then it'll start at lower levels, at 15 or 20 million, as you suggested. But typically, they become real considerations about 25 million. Another exception would be in taxpayers in those states that have a high estate tax. So about 20 states have an estate tax or an inheritance tax or both. The estate tax is on the estate. The inheritance tax is on the beneficiaries, and they can be very onerous. So, for example, some states have exclusions of only $2 or $3 million, which means a $20 million estate, you're going to be paying tax on $17 or $18 million. So the virtual family office, family holding company structure is also popular for those kind of families, because they're going to be paying millions of dollars of state estate taxes. So it's really a very specific question. You have to do the analysis and do a cost benefit and really determine if it makes sense. But if you're benchmarking, I would say 25 million it makes sense to look at for almost anybody. And below that depends on your circumstances and profession.
Tom, we're going to have to take a break. Will you have enough time to stick with us for another segment?
Of course.
That's terrific. And listen, while we're on break, please do your best to coach up the Blackhawks for us, okay? I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about that. We'll be right back after this short break with our good friend, Tom Handler, talking family office and a little sports, too.
I get up in the evening, and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning. I go to bed.
Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car this weekend, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got their Audi store. If you're going down to the Keys, visit their store down in Key West. What do all the cars have in common? Well, they're all great cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry advantage. What's the Warren Henry advantage? It's a complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection. You get key replacement. You get a guaranteed purchase offer. You get the best value guarantee, and of course, my favorite, the 72-hour exchange. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave. Be awesome. Be daring. Be kind. Choose kindness.
Hi, everybody. Looking to finance your hard-to-finance real estate? Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Need me to help you solve your real estate issues? Give me a call at 305-773-6300. You go, how can you help me, Jim? Well, I just helped the Related Group in Wynwood. Before that, I helped the Lennar Corporation in Wynwood. I've helped a lot of families and a lot of big companies make their real estate deals happen. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
All right, and we are back with our good friend, Tom Handler. Hey, Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming with us and talking about all this family office and taxation stuff. But let's talk a little bit about something that you have a little bit of a hand in. Let's talk a little bit about Handler Thayer. I know you do a lot of family office work. I know you do a lot about real estate work. Tell us a little bit about your team over there and the kind of things they can do for folks.
So we do a lot of business startups, securities offerings, typical merger and acquisition transactions. And as you know, we have a large sports entertainment group. These people represent hundreds of A-list actors, celebrities, authors, writers, models, the list goes on. So our practice is really taking care of those business interests and then taking care of the individual private clients, the estate planning, tax planning, structuring their affairs, prenuptial agreements, executive comp and benefits. I would say that you could characterize a financial practice like ours as one that's looking for the nickels and dimes on the couch. My grandfather was an upholsterer, and he would come home every week with, you know, a big pile of coins, and you know, money would slip through the cushions down into the backing of the furniture, and when you took them apart, you know, there'd be significant amounts of money in there. And some of these moves sound like very small, irrelevant things, but if you watch your tax planning and estate planning and payroll tax planning and excise and franchise tax planning over the years, and you pay attention to little things, it really adds up to be a very substantial amount of money. The difference between dying worth $5 million and dying worth $7 or $8 million. So it's a game-changing kind of approach. And that type of fine-tuning and optimization and introducing and following global best-in-class practices, that's what we try to bring to clients.
That's tremendous. Now, tell us maybe one of the stories anonymously about maybe one of the ways that one of your team helped somebody execute their plan and come to the ultimate part of the family office requirement, which is self-actualization. You got a lot of foundations and stuff you work with. Tell me a nice foundation story.
Sure. Well, first, I've found in working with affluent families that these people, almost across the board, are incredibly generous and philanthropic. Most have their own foundations. Some have more than one. Some have supporting organizations as well. They're involved in philanthropic work. They serve on boards. And I'm going to guess about a dozen of our clients have signed the giving pledge. And several of these families have over $1 billion in assets. And they're still, in one case, the gentleman's in his 70s, mid-70s, working about 70 hours a week. And he's committed to give 100% to charity when he passes.
Wow.
So he's just working like a slave for the benefit of humanity. None of it's going to go to his family or to him. He's just sort of a steward of it for now, and he's going to give it to causes that he deems important. And I think that's a tremendous legacy, and the more of those people out there, the better. But that's not uncommon. So this idea of taking care of society is a big part of it. So some of these foundations are very impactful. That one in particular is really focused on protecting the environment and birds in particular. He has a passion for ornithology. And this gentleman's probably got 200 companies, and they're all named after birds. And I'm reasonably knowledgeable in this area, and you've heard of birds I never knew existed. I mean, that's how detailed he's into it. And, of course, cool. A lot of his funds are going to go to that kind of research and preserving the birds, and they're pretty critical to the environment. So there's an awful lot of great stories. I'm very impressed with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So
there you go. Let's hear about Kareem.
So it's very public. We've handled affairs. We've been in newspapers and different events with him. We handled some of his litigation, and his passion is underprivileged youths. And so his Skyhook Foundation, he's working very hard, even though he doesn't need to work at all. He's in great condition. He's cerebral, just a wonderful man. And he really has a great passion for these kids. He's taking underprivileged kids and sending them to camps. And the mission is to fund the foundation with greater and greater amounts so that ultimately he can impact the highest number of kids possible, that they get out of the city, you know, get out in the country, get exposed to a camp experience, a little bit of discipline, role models, mentoring. It's just a wonderful cause. And to see someone of his caliber, the top scorer in the history of basketball, Kobe was number 3, by the way, the top scorer in the history of basketball, and this guy's working tirelessly for the benefit of these children, which I think is very cool.
I got to tell you is that people can be money rich, but that doesn't make you content inside. And while I'm not going to tell you what to do with your business, Tom, I got to believe that a lot of what you do is just handholding, helping people through decisions that are monumental and impactful. And I got to believe that you got like psychology in there too somewhere.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was a psych minor, which psychologists will tell you qualifies me to know next to nothing. Or at least I'm good at pop psychology. But I studied psychology of personality fairly hard. I thought that was just a fascinating area. And I think you're right. The moves that these people make, and part of what makes working in this area so rewarding for me and my colleagues, is that these people inordinately control capital. The majority of them are self-made. They did this. How does a guy make $4 or $5 billion in one generation? It's nearly impossible, and yet I've seen people do it. And they're incredibly charitable and philanthropic and grateful for their lives. It's very rewarding to us to watch what they do. These people create tons of jobs and businesses and they're very generous with their people and how they're paid and giving away stock. They're just tremendous human beings who are having a huge impact through their philanthropies, their own foundations, the philanthropies they're giving money to and supporting, the wonderful families that they've raised in most cases, and then the impact they're having on their communities with by virtue of the businesses that they're operating. So it's a win-win-win, and if we can play a role in making that delivery system more efficient or saving more money from taxes so it can go into the foundation or go to starting a business or growing a business or paying its people more, those are all great things to be a part of, and it is very rewarding.
Yeah, I got to believe that that's something really special for your team of quants and legal nerds and everything else. I mean, they're finally getting out of the library. Do you ever let them out of the library, by the way, Tom?
Not everybody.
Hey, you know, I really would like to give a shout out to your assistant who really helped us out today. She's really been tremendous in all of it.
Oh, I'm great. I'm very happy to hear that. We've always had really good people, a strong team, and I'd like to think that it shows. So it's always nice to hear that. But you were maligning my Blackhawks.
Yes, I was.
It's a restructuring year, so
we're used to that here in Miami.
We're struggling a bit, but hoping for better things in the future. But you know, we're in a celebratory mood in basketball because University of Illinois and DePaul have had strong teams and strong record, although DePaul's had a tough time inside their league. They beat up everybody else and have knocked off some, you know, top-notch teams, including Butler at number 5. And Illinois knocked off 3 or 4 top 25 teams. I think they're ranked 18th or 19th in the current polls. That's been great fun to watch. And as you know, an awful lot of our firm attorneys are tied to Illinois, Northwestern, DePaul, or some combination of those. So it's just been great fun for us to watch.
Yeah, no, that's great. And the other thing that I've really learned about your firm is the esprit de corps of both the current members and the alumni. I've been having a great time with Ross O'Brien down here. I want to thank you for the introduction to Ross and the guys at Spearhead as well.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
In fact,
I expect to be down there in February and hope to, see as many of my clients and friends down there as possible. An awful lot of my friends and neighbors have either moved to South Beach area or, as you know, Jarrett's in Palm Beach. And then maybe 30 to 40 clients, friends, and neighbors are camped out in and around Naples and then many other cities as well. But Naples and South Beach tend to be the concentration.
Well, Naples, because you got that 75 drive going there. But you see, what you did, Tom, was all you did was say that, Jim, you're located in the middle of everything. I got to come see you. You know, Tommy, we got to have some dinner and shoot the breeze and maybe while you're down here, get you on live and in person. I'm going to make that happen. So I'll come see you. You come see me. But we're going to make sure that this all gets done in person next time. We're going to have a great time. I want to thank Tom Handler for coming on today. Tom, shout out Handler Thayer. How do people, what's your website?
It's HandlerThayer.com, and we've got offices in Phoenix, Arizona, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and then one of our attorneys is camped out in Palm Beach.
There you go, and I know you're going to go to Arizona and Palm Beach as often as you can in February and March.
At this time of the year, that would be a better place to be.
You are the man, Tom. I'm looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks. Tom Handler, thank you so much for being a friend of Freedom Business.
Take care, Jim. Have a good day.
You got it. Okay, that was Tom Handler from Handler Thayer. Wow, what a great, everything from Kareem to protecting your assets and Kobe. Wow, that was just tremendous. I want to take a couple minutes here at the end of the show to talk about what we've been doing, where we are, and where we're going. We were on 880 AM for 10 years doing radio. Radio is evolving. Most of the people, I say, why are you on radio? Why don't you have a podcast? So I had a podcast. Now we have a podcast. 80 is, I'll have to say, gone out of business as far as what they were doing with us. We tried to do a local podcast on Jolt Radio, wasn't able really to get the mechanics down for that. It really didn't work dependably. So what we're doing now is we're working with Regan Mendoza. High five to Regan. He's got the whole setup here in the house. We're going to be broadcasting from my office in my home, and I'm looking at the background. I'm thinking I have to enhance it, but I really don't. You got the Marlins Championship Wheaties. You got the Marlins touching home plate on the championship. You got me debating on debating on the Plaza of the Americas, my UF undergrad. You've got my beautiful picture, Vivian, and you've got my favorite professional coach of all time right there. That's right. That's Don Shula. So we got some pretty good stuff in here. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have great information. Remember, send us an email of who you want to hear about. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. I want to thank our sponsors, Warren Henry Automotive. And I want to remind you, if you want to get together and do something, the winner finds a way, the other finds an excuse. Now, go out there and make it happen. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for our next new show live Wednesdays at 12 and then available all across the internet as a podcast. Again, thank you to Rebecca Carlson and Carlson Integrated, our friends at Warren Henry, the NFL Alumni Association, the UF Center for Real Estate Studies, our guest today, Tom Handler from Handler Thayer, and Jeff Green from the Florida Hemp Council. Remember, all of this will be live and available on our website, freedombusiness.com. So remember, this is Jim Fried. I will speak to you all next week. Regan, take it away.